Now we have in verse 14, though here is your suffering servant now. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Now this is the picture of the crucifixion of Christ. And this statement here prepares the way for chapter 53 that's coming up. His visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Now, I want to be very careful here, because it's not always a sign of orthodoxy to dwell upon the sufferings of Christ upon the cross. Actually, you can be very crude in the way that you preach the cross and deal with it. May I be very careful, therefore, in what I'm going to say now. After the 3 hours of darkness upon the cross, it was during those hours of darkness when man could no longer do anything. The night had come when no man could work, but the Son of God was working on the cross. It was during that time that though man could not work, God was. And it was during those 3 hours that that cross became an altar on which the Son of God, who is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And when light finally broke upon the cross at 3 in the afternoon, and men saw him, they were shocked. They were startled. He didn't even look human. He was just a bloody piece of quivering human flesh. It was unspeakable. We'll see the next chapter. There was no beauty that we should desire him. Now, that's the reason God put the mantle of darkness down upon the cross. Nothing there to satisfy the curiosity, the morbid curiosity of man. But remember, he was marred more than any man. And this is what I mean. When I was pastor in Nashville, Tennessee, I had a very wonderful elder of the church who was a captain in the fire department. A man given over, though, to first aid. He was almost hipped in that particular category. He had a first aid kit in his car. He taught it all the time. He always mentioned it. I know that he said to me 12 times, "Do you carry a first aid kit?" Well, I didn't then, but because of his urging, I finally got one and put in the car. Well, one early morning, he was going out on a call, a fire alarm. It was very early, and he crawled up on the hook and ladder, and he was riding there. And a milk truck crossed the pathway of this truck. The truck dodged, attempted to go around this milk truck, and when it veered, why, the hook and ladder truck, it turned upside down, and the men on it were dragged along the asphalt. Well, I got a call just about 5-something in the morning, and I was told he was in the hospital. And I rushed there. He was still alive. His father was sitting by the side of his bed. I looked at him, and actually his face was so marred, I didn't even recognize him. All I could see was a mouth, and he was breathing. That was all. He didn't last very long. In an hour's time, he was gone. He died. May I say to you, many times since then, I've thought of the fact that the Lord Jesus was marred more than any man, and that means he had to be marred more than that captain in the fire company there in Nashville. And friends, I didn't even recognize him. Just a piece of quivering human flesh. That's what my Lord went through on the cross. And I don't know that we ought to move over in the realm of being crude in describing that, because the next verse says, "So shall he sprinkle many nations, The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Now, that expression, so shall he sprinkle many nations, that could be translated, so shall he make with astonishment many nations. Now, this carries out the thought that his death will startle when it's properly understood. The death of Christ should never become commonplace to anyone. And I think that we ought to be very careful, those of us who preach and teach, that we just don't get in the habit of keep talking about the cross of Christ and the blood of Christ and make it commonplace. It should startle men to tell about him because his death was different. And let us keep it that way. We have not told it properly until it startles people, by the way. And I wonder now, this is the preparation for Isaiah 53. And I'd like to ask you a very personal question. Are you prepared now to consider the profound mystery of Isaiah 53? And that chapter opens in this very marvelous way. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?